Today in the sermon, we're going to investigate the words of the epistle reading, 1 Colossians chapter 1. And in the sermons on peace, the first one is peace with God. And then we're going to talk about other kinds of peace. So let's start with a bit of fun. I have a bucket here. And anyone who was setting up the front and saw what's in it, I'm sorry. Please don't give it away. This bucket is full of something. Would anyone like... Pete, would you like to just put your hand in? It's completely safe. Can you guess what's in this bucket? No looking. You can take a bit out if you like.
Jigsaw puzzle.
Right. This is a bucket of jigsaw puzzle pieces. Right. Now, that might help you guess what's in the next bucket. We'll just put some of them there like that for a moment. Here's a hint to everybody. I wish Gary was here. If you've been to his house, you'll know. Anyone do you want to try? You didn't look before? What could this be? Does anyone guess? Similar to the last thing. Oh, that's a hard one. Try a better one.
Lego.
Lego pieces. Okay. Can you see a pattern here yet? There's a pattern, and we're doing another one. Last one. We'll just leave them there. This one's a bit heavier. Can anyone guess what this is? You can hear the theme. Notice that the last two things. Brent, this is up your alley. You help out Adam in the workshop fairly often. That's right, a washer and a nut. It's a bucket full of nuts and bolts and washers. There's a lot of washers, aren't there? So nuts and bolts, jigsaw pieces, and Lego. What do they all have in common is my question for you. Can you see a common theme there? They all make something, yeah? So they're all individual pieces on one hand, but they're all made to connect. And when they connect, they do something greater? Is that fair to say? Right. Now I'm showing you this because the Bible word for peace, does anyone know the Bible word? The Old Testament Hebrew word, shalom, right. The Bible word for peace is a little bit different in its meaning to our word for peace, because when I say peace, I more often think of peace and quiet, don't you? I think, finally my kids are old enough, they might move out of home. Peace. Actually, that might be the opposite of biblical peace, depending on why they moved out. When the Bible talks about peace, the word peace is very big, and it does include maybe some stillness. But peace in the Bible, well, the opposite of peace is pieces. So you know that word shalom? Anyone remember the old song? Shalom, my friends, shalom, my friends. Peace. When we talk about peace in the Bible, we're not talking about peace and quiet quite so much. That's an element of it, that's a part of it, but if the opposite of peace is pieces, what would the Bible word for peace really mean? What would shalom be about? Connecting, putting pieces together. Does that make sense? So it doesn't mean nothing happening. You know, people say when someone dies, oh, rest in peace, and people who don't believe in the afterlife. And when they say rest in peace, they might mean nothing happening. Finally, dead peace. The Bible word for peace doesn't mean that. It means unified, one, connected or integrated. Some people think that peace comes by making everyone think the same thing as me. I make that mistake. If everyone just thought the same as me. Or some religions have the idea that God only loves the people who think like me or who believe exactly what I believe. You know, Jesus certainly never taught anything like that, did he? And some people have the idea that we'll only have peace when everyone joins our tribe and does like we do and thinks like we do. That's not really the biblical idea of peace, because the biblical idea of peace is about many different pieces but all getting connected and coming together. Most religions talk about peace. I want to tell you a joke. It's a pastor joke. It's one I love, but it's a bit obscure and pastory. But I love it. I tell it to pastors all the time. So, you know, Buddhists talk about peace a lot. That's a key idea of Buddhism is that the unity of all things, you know, everything becoming one. So my joke is a Buddhist goes into a hamburger bar and he says, make me one with everything. So often when we think of peace, we think of nothing happening. That is not the Bible's idea of peace at all. It might be calm and harmonious, but it's not just quiet. Peace is when the pieces fit together in a whole way as they were intended. So the world originally had fully and complete peace. All creation was at peace, and then it broke. So we know that God has promised us peace. And when God promises us peace, he means all the pieces connected, all the pieces put together. I wish Gary Koffel was here. Does anyone know what this is made of? This is Lego. How's that for Lego? But when you looked at it, did you see lots of tiny pieces? Well, that's what it is. I can prove it. My daughter will be upset. But when you looked at it, you saw, I hope you saw beauty. I think it's pretty good. So the Bible's image is that God has promised to put the broken world back together and all the pieces fitting together how they should. Oh, by the way, there are two parts to the Bible. What is the part that makes up like 3/4 or even more, 4/5 of the whole Bible? What's that part of the two? It's the Old Testament. Did you realize the Old Testament is like 75-80%, probably 80% of the whole Bible? It's big. And the Old Testament is all full of expectation. It's always looking forward to something. What's the something we're looking forward to in the Old Testament? The whole point of the whole Old Testament, the whole thing, Jesus. He's going to come. And there's a promised Messiah through the whole Old Testament. And you just heard one of the prophecies. They predict the coming of somebody. And this somebody, what's he going to do? He's going to be the wonderful Counselor, the Prince of Peace, the Almighty God. He's going to put things back together. So God promises peace, but he specifically promises that he's going to put us back together through the coming of someone, through Jesus. And then when Jesus came, in the New Testament, and especially in the book of Luke, they have all these songs. You know, when Jesus is born, there's songs, songs. When he comes into Jerusalem, there's songs. See if you can find today's topic in each one. You ready? Just let me know when I get to it. So the priest, Zechariah, he is singing about the coming of Jesus. And he says, because of the mercy of our God, by which the rising sun will come to us from heaven to shine on those living in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the path of peace. I love that Jesus is called the rising sun from heaven. How good is that? And what's he for? Peace. And then when Jesus is born, we'll hear this on Christmas Eve. The angels sing, glory to God in the highest, and on earth, peace. What are they saying? Jesus is about peace. And then when Jesus, the baby, is taken to the temple, then Simeon, one of the oldies, sings, Sovereign Lord, Lord, now let your servant depart in peace according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the presence of all people. What does he say? Let your servant go in peace. This old man has been in the presence of a baby and he says, ah, now I'm put together. And finally, when Jesus marches into Jerusalem on a donkey, the whole crowd began to joyfully praise God in loud voices for all the miracles they had seen. Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest. Peace in heaven? What, was heaven at war? Doesn't sound right to me. What is being said here is we are going to get reconnected to heaven. We're supposed to be a part of that. It's a reconnection. So this is who Jesus is. Jesus is the Prince of Peace. But here's where things go wrong. Because when Jesus marched into Jerusalem and they sang that he was a king going to bring peace, what did some of them mean by that? Right. They thought he was going to start a war, actually, a war to get peace. They thought he was a political leader who was going to smash the Romans. That's what you got it perfectly right, Karina. Like, and so, but Jesus didn't come for that, and the peace that he brought didn't work like that. And they mistakenly thought that you can get peace through war, and Jesus was completely and totally clear that that's not the case. And so Jesus came to put us back together, to reconnect us. But to just be clear, Jesus does that as a gift of mercy and grace. We don't force that to happen. And so the problem we have is that human beings, we want to force peace to happen. So often I see someone who is dying and a family member is grieving, and I'm not condemning what they do. We all do this a bit. But they want to know every single possible medical detail and outcome. You know what that's like? You've probably done it. I've done it. My loved one is dying, and I want to know everything. And I want to know, have we given every possible medication, every possible treatment, and is there any way to control the outcome? And then sometimes I see when the funeral comes, and I haven't seen it recently, but I'll see a family. You know, there'll be someone in the family who is grieving and really hurting. They're in pieces. And they try to control the world around them. They try to make everything happen just so. But it doesn't actually bring peace. Trying to control the outcomes in the world around you doesn't bring peace. You know how we try to control life so that nothing bad can happen wrong, and then we think we'll feel peace? Does it work? I don't think so. Another way that human beings try to make peace is by conquering. We think if I can just beat everyone around me down, or I can just dominate the situation, that'll bring me peace. And I think when Jesus rolled into Jerusalem on a donkey, yeah, they thought that a bit. Now we can control the Romans. We can control the situation. We can dominate, and that'll be peace. And Jesus was very clear, that's not what he came for, because he said, my kingdom is not of this world. My peace is not that kind. He said, my peace I give you, my peace I leave you. I do not give as the world gives. I do not give as the world gives. I want to just tell you a story, and then I'll make the final point about peace with God. So this is a true story from North Queensland when I was a young pastor in Townsville. There was a family living in the First Nations community of Woodjil Woodjil. Has anyone been there? It's a beautiful place. And this family's surname is Bowen. And Matty Bowen, anyone know who Matty Bowen is? Yeah, right. Matty Bowen comes from this family. They're a big family in Woodjil Woodjil and Hope Vale. And the Bowen family had a terrible, terrible car accident up on Cape York. And it was just so bad that they popped a couple of them in a helicopter and flew them to the big hospital in Townsville. And I got to meet a number of the family, but in particular Mum, Desley Bowen. She's not such a young mum anymore, but she was a young mum, and she had bruises and scratches and cuts all over her body. But she was okay. But she had a little baby, Destiny. What a great name, Destiny Bowen. And Destiny was 9 months old, and Destiny had a shattered skull. Her entire skull was no longer one piece, but many, many pieces. And she had swelling, and the doctors said, no, no hope here. So little Destiny was in that intensive care ward. And I'm a whitey. I didn't know and still don't fully, and I will never know how fully to relate to Aboriginal culture. So I just hung around with them when they wanted me. And I just sat with them. And we prayed. They liked prayer. We prayed a lot. And after about, I think it was might have been 6 days, we were told, no hope. You're going to have to make a tough decision and turn the life support off and say goodbye to baby Destiny. And I remember looking at her mum and her family and thinking how helpless we are in the face of this. There was nothing we could conquer. We couldn't find another thing to do to fix it. We couldn't put her back together. We couldn't control the outcome. And I could see this family's utter, utter helplessness. And I felt it with them too. All we could do was surrender destiny to God and hope for the best. And on the seventh day, she opened her eyes and she looked at her mum and she started breathing on her own. Many years later, I went up to the Aboriginal community with some of the youth from the Budrum Lutheran Church. And this little girl runs up and it was her. It doesn't always happen like that, and yet it does, ultimately, in heaven, it does. In our lives, we don't always have like this miraculous thing. But what I do know is that the grace and mercy and peace of God never comes when we try to control the world or control the situation or beat others or dominate. God's love is all a gift, and you don't have to work for it. You don't have to be perfect for it. And it comes simply when we surrender. And that's what that family did. So let me finish. Peace comes through the cross. That's what Christians believe. What the cross means is surrendering, giving up on ourselves, the death of myself, and the gift of new life. So our second Bible reading, read so well by Judy, it says, Christ is the image of the invisible God. You want to know God? Look at Christ. He created the whole universe. Christ, it was made through him. Christ existed before all things and in union with him. See that? Christ is the first piece of the puzzle. If your life is like a jigsaw puzzle smashed up, Christ is the first piece. Everything connects to him. That's how peace comes. It comes through God who surrendered his power and his glory and chose not to dominate and control us, but to give up his life. And then it says, in him all things have their proper place. See, in Jesus, who is God, who died, who surrendered, all the bits start to fit. And then it says, through the Son, if you didn't get that, if that didn't make enough sense for you, he says, let's make it clear. Through the Son, then, God decided to bring the whole universe back to himself. That's shalom. God made peace through his Son's sacrificial death on the cross. So how do I get peace? Well, I surrender my life and my choices and my stubborn will. I admit that I'm in pieces and I give it over to Jesus. The final thing I will say is this. You know it's not about making peace with God, because God has made and makes peace with us. The Christian faith is not about doing a bunch of stuff to make God accept me. Because God already accepts me and loves me so much that he would come and die for me. So, you know, you can't do stuff to make peace with God. God's already done that for you in Jesus. And what he asks of us is the hardest thing, to not do all that to make peace with God. The thing he asks of us that is the hardest is to let go and to just trust. Because he's done it already, all for us. So that's part one. And when you think about peace, as we talk about peace, we're going to think about putting pieces together. That's what we're going to say. And we're going to say, we don't have it all yet, and we're not perfect, but God is doing that through Jesus, and there will be perfect peace. Let's pray. Jesus, teach us to give up on our own ways, our own control. We surrender our lives to you. And may the peace of God that passes all understanding keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus to life eternal. Amen.